Good morning. I've put some thoughts together about Jesus, a prophet, a priest, and a king. I'll turn this on now. Sorry. Tonight also we'll be following up with another lesson on living in Christ. But to premise this lesson this morning, we are going to look at Jesus the Christ, who is a prophet, who is a high priest, and a king. First of all, we look at the qualifications of a prophet. They are appointed by God. They have knowledge by revelation. Their speech is inspired in its inherent accuracy. It comes from God. What is the role of a prophet? We read in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 18 through 20. I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command. Verse 19, it shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who speaks a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet will die. In the Old Testament, there were many prophets, and God had directed them to speak his word and only his word. So God speaks to us through the prophets. In Hosea chapter 12, verse 10, I have also spoken to the prophets, and I gave numerous visions, and through the prophets I gave parables. So God reveals his plans through the prophets. In Amos chapter 3, in verse 7, we read, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. There are many types of prophets we read about in the Old Testament. There were oral prophets, which spoke God's word. There were written prophets, and we have a number of them. We have the major prophets and also the minor prophets. There were prophecies, and also we read about false prophets. But Paul wrote in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 8, love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecies, they will be done away with. If there are tongues, they will cease. And if there's knowledge, it will be done away with. So how does God speak to you and I today? And that is through his word, through his Bible. We should be looking at his word and listening to what God says to us in that word. Well, Jesus is a prophet. We read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. We also see in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, and he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Jesus knew what he had to do. He had to die on the cross so that all mankind may have the opportunity of eternal life, and their sins will be forgiven. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 57, and they took offense at him, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, in his own household. Matthew chapter 21, verse 11, we read, and the crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. So the people of Jesus' time looked upon him and says he's a prophet. He's God's mouthpiece. And he had something to share with you and I. And that is recorded through the scriptures via the help of the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 24, verse 19, and he said to them, what things? And they said to him, the things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, in sight of God and all the people. Jesus performed many miracles. And he also shared with the people of that time what is required of them. So Jesus is a prophet. God had expected priests to do certain things. They were able to offer up gifts and sacrifices for sin. They were very compassionate. They were called by God. And Jesus is our high priest. We read in the Hebrew letter, chapter 3, in verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. The writer continues in chapter 4, verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Again, the writer of Hebrews says in the 6th chapter, verses 19 and 20, this hope we have as an anchor of our soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Well, Jesus' priesthood is great. It's like Melchizedek. We don't know much about him, but we read about him in the Hebrew letter. We see in chapter 5 of Hebrews, verse 10, being designated by God as a high priest, referring to Jesus the Christ, according to the order of Melchizedek. So what do we know about Melchizedek? We read about that in the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 3. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham as he was returning from slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham apportioned a tenth of all the spoils, was first of all, by the translation of his name, King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, which is the King of Peace. He's without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, and he remains a priest perpetually. And that's Jesus. Jesus is of the order of Melchizedek. We also notice that Jesus' priesthood is immortal. In chapter 7 of Hebrews, verse 23 and 24. The former priests, on the one hand, existed in great numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. But Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. So the priesthood of Jesus is immortal. We also notice that the priesthood of Jesus is complete. In verse 25 of the Hebrew letter, in chapter 7, we read, "Therefore he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." So, Jesus' priesthood is complete. We don't need anything else but Jesus. We also notice his priesthood is sinless. In verse 26 of the 7th chapter of Hebrews, "For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separate from sinners, and exalted above the heavens." That's Jesus the Christ. We also notice that Jesus' priesthood is unique. Verses 27 and 28 of the 7th chapter of Hebrews, we read, "Who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, because this he did once for all when he offered up himself," talking about Jesus dying on the cross for us. "For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak. But the word of the oath which came after the law appoints a son made perfect forever." So the priesthood of Jesus is unique. We also know that the priesthood of Jesus is heavenly. In chapter 9 of the Hebrew letter, we read verses 23 and 24. "Therefore, it was necessary for the copies of things in the heavens to be cleansed with these. But the heavenly things themselves were better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." So Jesus intercedes for you and I. He pleads our case to God the Father for us. He is there for us. So we notice that Jesus is a prophet, he's God's mouthpiece, and he has a priesthood that's far above what we read about in the Old Testament. There's one other factor that goes along with it, is Jesus is the king. So God's qualifications for a king are this. First of all, should be the Son of God. In Psalms chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, we read, "But as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, 'You are my son, today I have begotten.'" you. Another qualification of God's king is that he's from David, he's the son of David. Psalmist writes in Psalms 132 in verse 11, "The Lord had sworn to David a truth from which he will not turn back. Of the fruit of your body I will set upon your throne." So he's the son of God, and also God's king is from the lineage of David. We also notice that God's king is righteous. In Psalms chapter 45, verses 6 and 7, "Your throne of God is forever and ever. A scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy above your fellows." God's king is also victorious over death. In Psalms chapter 16, verse 10, the psalmist says, "For you will not abandon my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay." God's king ascended into heaven. Psalm chapter 110, verses 1 and 2. "The Lord says to my God, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord will stretch forth your strong scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies." Well, Jesus is king. He is God's king. We read in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 11, "Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor questioned him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said to him, it is as you say." In verse 37 of that same chapter, we read, "And above his head, they put the charge against him, which read, this Jesus, the King of the Jews." So even the Romans knew he was the King of the Jews. In Acts chapter 17, verses 6 and 7, we read, "When they did not find him, they began dragging Jason and some of the other brethren before the city authorities," talking about when Paul was preaching to these individuals. "And they were shouting, these men who have upset the world have come here also. And Jason had welcomed them, and they all act contrary to the decree of Caesar, decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, and that's Jesus." So his followers of the first century knew that Jesus was a king. So Jesus is qualified to be God's king. He's the Son of God, first of all. In John LeCamp's reading, we read this, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." So the angel told Mary that he will be the Son of God, and she will bear a son. And she said, "Well, I'm a virgin, and God will take care of him." In Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, Paul said, "Who was declared the Son of God," that's Jesus, "with the power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord." So he truly is the Son of God. We also see that he was from the lineage of David. He's the son of David. And that Luke had written in the first chapter, verse 32, He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne on his father's throne of his father David. In Romans chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says, concerning his son, speaking about Jesus, who was born of the descendant of David according to the flesh. We also see that Jesus is righteous. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, the writer says, but of the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness and your companions. We also see that Jesus was victorious over death. In Acts chapter 2, verses 22 and 24, Peter says in the first sermon to the Israelites, men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. So throughout Jesus' ministry, he was performing miracles. He was showing them signs and wonders. They had this, but yet they denied that. And Peter goes on and says, this man delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of the godless, by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. So Peter was explaining to the Jews that were listening. He was among you, and he was performing all these miracles and signs and wonders, and you totally missed the boat on that. And now he's telling them, look, you crucified him. Later on we'll see that he tells them to repent. And we see that there were 3,000 added to the church on that first day. In Acts chapter 2, continuing on in verse 32, this Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. So those apostles, those disciples of Jesus that were with him, witnessed that he was raised up from the dead. We see in Acts chapter 13 and verse 32 and 33, and we preach to you the good news of the promise made to the fathers, that God has fulfilled this promise to our children, in that Jesus, in that he raised up Jesus, and is also written in 2 Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. We also notice that Jesus ascended into heaven. Acts chapter 2, verses 33 to 36. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from God the promise of the Holy Spirit, he had poured forth this which you see and hear. For it is not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand, until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God had made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. So, Jesus' reign, his great reign, is first of all spiritual. His reign is indestructible. No earthly kingdom, no other Satan can destroy Jesus' reign. We also know that Jesus' reign is benevolent. It's incorruptible, and it's for all. It's universal. So we have Jesus, a prophet, a high priest, and a king. We see that a prophet was appointed by God, knowledge by revelation. His speech is inspired in its inherent accuracy. As the high priest, Jesus is of the same order as Melchizedek. His priesthood is immortal, complete, sinless, unique, and heavenly. We also see Jesus as God's king. He's the Son of God. He's from the lineage of David. He's the son of David. He is righteous. He was victorious over death, and he ascended to heaven. And we see the greatness of Jesus' reign. It's spiritual, indestructible, malevolent, incorruptible, and universal. It's for all of us, all mankind. If you want to be part of God's kingdom and you're not a child of God today, we encourage you to come forward. Confess Jesus the Christ as the Son of God. Turn from your sins and be buried again in the watery grave of baptism. And if you're a child of God and are not walking right, we ask that you correct that, and we'll help you and assist you in any way as we stand and sing.